Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Sterling Elliott joins us once a month so you can ask a pharmacist. He's a clinical pharmacist at Northwestern Medicine and assistant professor of orthopedics at Feinberg School of Medicine. Dr. Elliott, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Wonderful. I see top of the news is Rite Aid is considering a bankruptcy filing. Now, we don't have many Rite Aids around here, but it is a pretty major pharmacy chain. And for most people, you know, paying what we pay for drugs, it's kind of hard to believe that somebody could not stay in that line of business.
It is hard to believe, but I will tell you that I'm one of those who does believe it. Rite Aid is a chain that's done a lot of business out on the East Coast, especially, and I think down south as well, especially down in the Southeast. Believe it or not, when you buy a prescription from a pharmacy, the amount of profit margin that's in there is not that high at all. I know it's hard to conceive of that because of the drug costs, but there's not a lot of margin in there. There's not a lot of profit. It takes a lot of cost to go ahead and purchase the drugs, bring them in, pay the people to get them going. And so the way a lot of pharmacies have traditionally made their money, especially I would say in the last 25, 30 years of the industry, is that they would make money selling the over-the-counter medications. A lot of the other goods in the front of the store, those were high margin items. And so there was a lot of profit in there, and that would help offset some of the reducing profit that you would make selling prescription drugs. So, yeah, I do believe it.
And how will the tariffs impact the cost of our pharmaceuticals?
I think that is a topic that's on everybody's mind. I mean, I will tell everybody here listening that it's a topic that's significantly on my mind. And a lot of my colleagues know that I'll walk around and kind of talk about how are we doing with that, because much of America's drug supply is manufactured overseas. The largest site of manufacturing for the American drug supply is in India. And we know that India is facing a significant tariff load as well. I read today that there was some discussion that I believe in the initial round of the supplemental tariffs and the reciprocal tariffs, the administration was leaving the drug supply out of it, but that the intent eventually was to include the drug supply. Certainly in the president's campaign, he was adamant about wanting to get drug costs down. And so the tariffs are only going to push up drug costs. And from everything that I hear from the economists, and I was absent on Economist Day in pharmacy school, but from everything we hear from the economists, tariffs always flow down to the consumer. And so I think we're going to see that in the drug supply as well.
And it's tough already for some people to pay for the drugs that are life-saving for them. When did India become the biggest supplier or creator or manufacturer of drugs?
I don't know the history of it to give you a time, but I know certainly in the last 10 years, just anecdotally looking at manufacturing sites, when I look at packages of drugs that come in, the vast majority of them are coming from India, and it's because India made the decision that it was going to move in the direction of being an efficient labor cost site for being able to manufacture these high cost elements. And I think for the drug companies, it was a great place to go to, because remember, they're manufacturing supply, and a great deal of it is going to be marketed here in the United States. But that's also going to be marketed in Europe. It's going to be marketed in Canada and Japan and Australia and all the other areas where there's large use of pharmaceuticals as well. And I think India was a real central place to be able to do that and distribute out to the different marketplaces.
I really don't feel either way about whether my car parts are made in another country or my T-shirts or my iPhone. I would like to see the drugs we consume manufactured in this country. But again, the cost would go up because we don't have people who will work for what they will work for in India. Is that safe to say that there's just no way we could manufacture them cheaper?
I think it's probably the safest way to say that. I think, yes, it comes down to being able to manufacture the medications at the most efficient cost possible. And certainly overseas manufacturing sites are just going to be more efficient in terms of cost than sites that we could establish here in the United States.
Okay. Dr. Sterling Elliott from Northwestern Medicine, a clinical pharmacologist, is with us. Here come the questions. I am 64 years old. I'm on hydrochlorothiazide, BP, 25 milligrams. I always have congestion. What over-the-counter decongestants are safe to take while on blood pressure meds?
That's an excellent question. I think that there's two parts here that we're going to talk about on that. Number one, a lot of the decongestants that tend to work really well will do so by squeezing the blood vessels up in your nose. And if they squeeze the blood vessels up in your nose, they'll squeeze the blood vessels in other parts of your body as well. There has been a product that's been on the market called Coracidin. That's a brand name. And some people will go to that. I don't know truly how effective it is. But remember, I told you there's two parts to this question. The second part is one of the ways that hydrochlorothiazide works in managing your blood pressure is to help manage, in part, the fluid load in your body. And so sometimes some of the congestion can be a consequence of your body not moving fluid effectively. And so if that's the case, I would really want to encourage the texter to have a conversation with the doctor and make sure that that's not in play as well.
Or ask the pharmacist day, are there any homeopathics, herbs, holistic, or alternatives that can be used during a tooth extraction instead of sedation? I'm a celiac, and I have numerous allergies.
It's an excellent question. To be honest with you, I don't really know the answer to that. I don't know of any of those types of agents out there that are going to provide the kind of sedation that some of the typical sedatives would that we would use in a dental procedure, something like that. Perhaps, you know, it depending on the length of the procedure, sometimes that becomes one of those risk-benefit questions that we always ask ourselves and ask our patients is, you know, what can you tolerate and what are you willing to tolerate? And if you know that it's a short-term thing, that may be the best course of action.
How does GoodRx cover drugs for less? That's another question on our text line.
Yeah, that's a question that I think a lot of people ask. I think intentionally GoodRx isn't overly transparent about how exactly they manage the funds going in and out. But essentially, GoodRx sort of acts as a way to subsidize the cost of the transaction. And so the pharmacy gets some money. But by all accounts, when you talk to people who own and operate pharmacies, they will tell you that the amount of money that they get from GoodRx to offset the total cost of the prescription probably isn't enough to stay in business a long time. And it gets us back to the conversation we had earlier about Rite Aid, and we're sort of heading down that slope. And I think particularly in a scenario now where fewer and fewer people are sticking around in the store and buying some of those items in the front end, it's sort of leading to this kind of cascade.
Dr. Sterling Elliott's with us. We'll get to your rest of your questions and assistant professor of orthopedics at Feinberg School of Medicine. Okay, questions have come in. Here we go. When will they make Eliquis generic so it'll be cheaper? I get 3 months through a Canadian pharmacy for $200. In the U.S., 1 month for $250 with insurance.
It's a good question. I don't know the exact date, but what that'll come down to is when the brand name drug comes out of the patent cycle. And once it's out of the patent cycle, I would imagine there are a number of generic manufacturers that are lined up to introduce their version of the product into the marketplace. And that's what will begin to show cheaper costs to the consumer.
And if most of our drugs are manufactured in India and they're manufactured there for countries around the world, why is it that drugs in Canada are so much cheaper than they are here in the U.S.?
Well, I think there's a couple of different factors that go into it. Number one, Canada, remember, is a nationalized health framework, right? So Health Canada controls all of the economic circumstances surrounding healthcare in Canada. That includes surgery, seeing a physician, and medicines and drugs as well, and at the pharmacies. So they set some pricing limits there. Number two, and I know you and I have had this conversation before in previous visits, there are dramatic differences in the cost of developing a drug and bringing it to a market in Canada or Europe as opposed to bringing it here in the United States. I think the last time I checked, the cost to bring a drug to the market in Canada, somewhere around $1.3 billion, and the cost to bring a drug to the market in the United States on average is a little over $4 billion.
Another person said, I take ibuprofen and Tylenol at the same time for pain. Is there anything over-the-counter better than that for pain?
I mean, as far as over-the-counter medications go and dealing with pain, those are, you know, two of the workhorses. I mean, those are ones that we direct people to use as well, and they can be used together. They can be used sort of offset from one another as well. They work on dealing with pain differently. Tylenol, if you think about it, Tylenol, for lack of a better term, sort of tamps down the amount of pain signaling that makes its way up through your central nervous system and eventually to the part of your brain that perceives pain. The ibuprofen is an anti-inflammatory, and so that's really getting at inflammation, which is oftentimes the root cause of acute pain. There are some people that will try some of the over-the-counter agents that are topical agents. Some people try capsaicin cream. I think they have sort of varied success with it. That probably works better for more long-standing arthritis pain. Sometimes folks that have some acute problems with some swelling and inflammation will be told by their doctors to use like a diclofenac gel. Voltaren gel was the brand name. It's now available over the counter generically as well. So those can be some options. But I think a lot of it comes down to what's the pain and what are you feeling and why is it happening?
Someone is asking, are there any drawbacks from taking gabapentin I have to take for my diabetes? I was told that was a reason why I cannot get an erection anymore, which is affecting my marriage. Please help.
Oh, well, I think drugs like gabapentin have been used in that fashion for a long time, right? The reason we use it in patients that have diabetes is in the hopes that it helps with what we call nerve pain, which is pain that really comes, it's like a stinging kind of burning sensation, and those that have it can describe it much better than I. But it really is sort of there, and the gabapentin and some of its cousin drugs are thought to sort of reduce some of the problems flowing through the nervous system. Now, with that may very well come some issues with the nervous system that are tied into being able to perform during sexual activity. So it is possible, and I think more and more we're sort of wondering whether or not things like gabapentin are really as good at dealing with nerve pain as we once thought they were.
Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to you joining us next month again.
Absolutely. We'll be back to see you next month.
That is Dr. Sterling Elliott, clinical pharmacist at Northwestern Medicine and assistant professor of orthopedics at Feinberg School of Medicine.